Welcome back. It's season 2, episode 2 of the Sclerosun podcast. It is the 12th of February. I can't believe this year is just going by so quickly, and there's so many things coming our way. So tonight's guest is not only a dentist, but also a scleroderma patient. His name is Dr. Luis Del Castillo. He's going to be speaking at our combined support group meeting next week on the 20th. So please go into our events. The link is there to register so we know that you're coming, and you can't come in unless you're coming. Also check out our website at www.scleroderma.org/socal. His information, his bio is up there as well too. We're also going to have our lovely co-host with us, Miss Tina Berger. Y'all know her. And she'll be joining us to help interview. So this is going to be a lot more casual. It's not a webinar. You're not going to sit through a presentation. You get to know the person that's going to speak at our event or at our combined support group meeting. That way you kind of see a little bit more insight on why they're speaking or why they're doing what they're doing. So just a few announcements that's coming up. Our next podcast will be March 5th, and our guest will be none other than our favorite Dr. Susan Ayansi. She's going to be talking about her talk that's coming up as well, too, next month about nutrition. So you might want to come in and listen to that as well, too. That's going to be on March 5th, Friday, March 5th, 7 o'clock, same place, same time, right here on our Facebook page live. And if you miss our podcast on Facebook Live, it stays there. You can watch it again and again and again on our video tab here on the Facebook page. But you can also listen to it on Anchor.fm as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the Sclerosun podcast. You can even go back to our first episodes back in the day when we didn't know what we were doing. So it's great. It's fun. It's memories. You know, when Facebook memories pops up and you see your kid that's all grown up now, it's definitely something different. So next month we'll also be having our Vertical Cure fundraiser, our skiathon. It's March 27th up at Mammoth Mountain. So we are still taking precautions. You know, it is skiing, so you will be 6 feet apart or else you'll get hit by a pole. So it's definitely an event that we can do live. So with that said, we're actually going to be broadcasting our Sclerosun podcast live during check-in. So you get to meet the people that are involved in the skiathon, as well as maybe some of the people that are checking in and you know, see what they think about this thing. This is the 20th anniversary of Vertical Cure. So if you want to know more about it, if you want to participate in it, go to verticalcure.org. Let's see what else we have in the lineup. April, stay tuned for an email blast, a Facebook post, because we have our Strikeout Scleroderma Padres versus Dodgers. That's right. We're going to be doing a watch party baseball game where we're all going to be, you know, putting our teams in our nice Zoom backgrounds and cheering them on. Who knows? We'll maybe have a raffle. We'll probably Grubhub you something. Maybe, you know, there's so many things that we can do even while we're inside and while we're staying safe. So please stay tuned for that, for the email blast, the social media. Please follow us on Facebook. If you're not already following us, hit that like button so you get all alerted. We also have a YouTube page, and a lot of our talks and webinars are up there as well too. It's youtube.com/sclerodermasocal. And follow us on Instagram, sclerodermasocal, as well too. Let's see, what else are we having? This is big. I mean, I'm going to post it up here. There we go. It's the SoCal Stepping Out to Cure Scleroderma virtual stepping out event. It's going to be in the first week of June when we kick off Scleroderma Awareness Month. It's going to be all virtual. We have surprises. I'm like, you know, just stirring the pot right now, seeing what we can cook up for this one that's different from last year. We might still do the whole 4-hour long thing and everybody get involved. I'm sure we're going to be doing the what do you call that? The search thing, scavenger hunt. Oh my gosh, my brain's just too much lighting in my office right now. It's just frying my brain. But yes, we're going to be doing the virtual scavenger hunt. That was really fun. You can be able to participate in that. We're going to be opening up registration very, very soon, in less than 2 weeks. So please keep an eye on that. Register early. We're going to be posting fun ideas on how on the way that you can fundraise for yourself, so you can be, you know, the biggest fundraising team or even the biggest team. And remember, since we're in Southern California, but this is all virtual, you can get people involved. Last year, we had people from Miami, people from Florida, people from all over the country involved in our virtual stepping out. So please stay tuned for that. And here's the new logo. Is that cool? We get to put some beach scenes in there and palm fronds. It's excellent. It's gonna be fun. And of course, if you want to help out with these events, whether they're virtual or live, we'd love to hear from you. Please email socalevents@scleroderma.org or join our Scleroderma Foundation Southern California Chapter Volunteers group. There should be a link within the Facebook page that can get you to that. I'll be posting up signups. I'll be posting up plans. If you're already part of our committee, you'll see some of the things happening there as well too. And you know, so we need all the help that we can get. All these events doesn't just happen by magic. It takes a lot of work behind it. Even though you're just watching from home, this all the planning that goes behind all these events. Tina knows, I know, our entire office staff is always running around. Even though we're all separated and at home, we are working overtime, right, Tina? It's like, you know, 6 days a week trying to get things done. Tina has me up in the Saturday morning recording our support group meetings, and it's a blast. And I think we've all come together even though we haven't even seen each other in real life. All right, so with that said, I'm gonna go ahead and unlock myself here so we can all see everybody else. Where is that? Yeah, a year later, I'm still playing around with Zoom. So we're going to bring in, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Tina. Tina Berger, say hi to everybody.
Hi. I was just thinking with what you said about our events, you know, I think most people know that I was a volunteer for the foundation for about 17 years before becoming an employee about 5 years ago. And it was a very humbling experience to show up at an event and just say, okay, you're going to go there, or you're going to go there, you're going to do the sign in, you're going to help out. But actually being there and watching something from start to finish was very eye-opening. And again, a humbling experience to see the work and the efforts and the amount of people and the volunteers that came together to put some of these events together. So when you mentioned that, it brought back a memory. And even though we haven't really seen each other because of the quarantine, we really have come together and supported each other in a way that we didn't think was possible. And I actually think we're all a little closer as a result of how much we've all supported each other in our positions to keep supporting our members during a difficult time. So I just wanted to mention that. And I want to say thank you so much to Dr. Del Castillo for being here with us tonight, because guys, he's in Boston and it's a lot later over there than it is here. So he's taking one for the team. And I really appreciate that. And I wanted to say Boston when I said that. I think I got that right. And I thought I would start by telling you all how we met. And this is, he was posting something on Inspire. And he talked about his background of having scleroderma and being a dentist, and offered his expertise and if anybody had any questions. And one of our members of our Crescenta Valley support group, Bonnie, reached out to Dr. Del Castillo in our behalf and said, would you be interested in possibly doing a talk for us? And he said he'd be delighted. And she provided the introduction. And within a couple days, we were communicating via email and talking about if he would like to do a talk for us, because this is a really important topic. And I'm sure everybody watching right now can attest to the struggles that they have with scleroderma, let alone with dentistry, and how it's hard enough to find a good doctor that specializes in scleroderma. We've got a pretty good handful now, but dentistry, that's a whole different ball game. So when we told everybody about you, their eyes would light up, because you're a twofer for us. You can relate in a way that nobody else can, because you're living with scleroderma and you're a dentist. And so we thought that was exciting, and we figured this would be a really great opportunity to share a little insight on a personal level during this podcast versus, you know, it's more educational when we have you come in on our combined support group meeting and just get to know you a little bit more. I also want you all to know that there was a family that was newly diagnosed and a gentleman that was having a very difficult time with it. And I asked Dr. Del Castillo if he would maybe be open to talking to him. In a heartbeat, he sent me back a message and said, anytime you need my help, I'm there. And it really was very touching. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. And we always say, the only good thing that comes out of scleroderma, and people can, like a puppet behind me, say, is the people we meet, like you, that change lives and enrich ours. So I just want you to know how much we appreciate your time today and in the future, because I'm going to, you're my buddy now, and I'm going to bug you all the time.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Del Castillo, all the way from Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you. So we wanted to ask you a few questions, and we wanted to start, and we know that you mentioned that some of this information you were going to be sharing during your presentation. So I don't want to give away too much, but I would like to at least share a little bit. So maybe you could tell us kind of a little bit about how, what was life like before diagnosis and what led up to that diagnosis?
Yes, sure. Well, first, thank you for the invitation. Happy to be here. And like you said, you know, I'm happy to help in any way I can. And for me, the whole thing started right around 2008. I have a friend who was coming to visit from Venezuela, and we were planning his trip, and we were talking on the phone a few times. And then one phone call in particular that I remember, he started telling me, you know, you're coughing too much, he said. And I didn't even notice it. And I said, what do you mean I'm coughing too much? Yeah, you've been coughing a lot since we've been talking on the phone. What's going on with that? So I, you know, he's the one who made me realize that something was wrong. So I reached out to my primary care, and then she put me in contact with her husband, who happens to be a pulmonologist. And they're both actually also from Venezuela. And so he started doing all the exams and everything. They didn't know exactly what it was. At this point, I didn't have any skin involvement at all.
Wow.
The only thing I had was just a persistent cough. And they thought it was asthma. It wasn't asthma. I had all the tests that you can imagine, PFTs, you name it, everything. So they put me on steroids for about a year. And the cough didn't disappear, but it got a lot better. So they were still monitoring me through the years. And then my pulmonologist moved to one hospital to another. So I followed him into the other hospital. And right around 2013, 14, somewhere around there, I started noticing that I couldn't close my fist all the way as I used to. And that was strange to me. And I started to develop the finger ulcers too, the ulcers on the fingertips. And so I told him about it. And he said, well, let me have you see a friend of mine who's a pulmonologist and a rheumatologist. He had both specialties.
Nice.
And the moment this guy saw me, he said, you have scleroderma.
So how long was that time between your cough starting and your actual diagnosis?
About 4 years.
Wow.
And there was, and, there was a long biopsy too. There was a long biopsy. Wow. I forgot to mention that there was a lung biopsy in 2009, and because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And the lung biopsy gave two possible diagnoses. One was pulmonary fibrosis, and the other one was obstructive organizing pneumonia. And they're both treated with steroids. That's why they put me on steroids, on prednisone. And
but missed the other signs that this had to do with scleroderma.
I didn't have any other signs that pointed to scleroderma until I developed the finger manifestations.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is I was looking at Emmanuel's face, and I feel like he was sort of going through memory lane, because his wife started the same exact way with the cough.
Yep.
And they did not identify it at first, but wasn't that her first symptom too, that she was
coughing, and then they called it asthma, allergies, what else did they do, and then walking pneumonia. It took 3.5 years before they diagnosed it. So yeah, we definitely feel that and have gone through that as well too.
Yeah. And Dr. Del Castillo, you were in practice when this was going on,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so this was a little while ago, so your kids were a lot younger too, right?
My kids, I have a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old. So the I have my 10-year, my oldest was already born. Well, she was born in 2010. So the cough started before the girls, before my girls.
So, that kind of leads to my next question, because I know obviously when you finally figured out what this diagnosis was, it changed things. So how much did it change things for you? Was there any role changes at the house? I mean, how did your wife take this information? Your kids were young.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I just kept working and you know, I had no limitations at all. Up until 2015, when I had a couple of episodes that I ended up in the hospital. One of them was aspiration pneumonia from the GERD, and they started talking about transplant at that point. No, I'm sorry. Let me go back. Hold on a second. There was a first episode that I ended up in the hospital, and that's when they started to talk about transplant.
So you went quite some time then, sort of just kind of even keyed, and just you're taking care of your practice. Were you seeing your doctor on a regular basis, and then it just one day you kind of changed and you went to a more aggressive level of the disease?
Yes. The first episode where I ended up in the hospital, I think it was also aspiration pneumonia. I can't remember exactly, but at that point they started talking about transplant. And that was actually end of 2011, because at that point my wife was pregnant with a second girl, and she was born in February of 2012. And during the hospital visit, like, you know, talking about transplant and stuff, at the first, you know, meeting with the transplant team, they told me, you know, you're not sick enough for a transplant, and you're about to have a baby too, so let's just put that behind right now. Let's just not focus on that right now, because you're not sick enough to have a transplant at this point. And then around 2015, I had the second aspiration episode that I ended up in the hospital. And at that point, they said, you know, now it's time to really consider this. And this was at the Brigham and Women Hospital here in Boston. And they did all the tests they had to do, you know, the motility test of the esophagus and all that stuff. They already had done the motility test prior, so they already know that my esophagus was also affected from the scleroderma. And it took them about, after they did all the tests, it took them about 3 months to come up with a decision for me, and they actually rejected me for a transplant.
Wow.
And at that point, so, you know, once I had all the tests done, I talked to a friend of mine who also has scleroderma, and she also had a lung transplant at Cleveland. She told me, start doing pulmonary rehab, which I did. And when I decided to do the pulmonary rehab, I had the options to go to Brigham, to go to Mass General Hospital, to go to Tufts Medical Center. So I teach at the Tufts Dental School, so it was right next to me. And the Winchester Hospital, which is where I live. And Mass General was the one that had the best times. Like, it was the one that worked best for me in terms of, you know, the time and the location and everything. So I started going to Mass General for the pulmonary rehab. So 3 months later, Brigham says no. And they said, Cleveland or Pittsburgh? So I said, well, send me to Cleveland, since my friend had it in Cleveland. You know, it's very likely that they'll take me too. So Cleveland also rejected me.
Wow.
So my only, at the same time, I called MGH, Mass General Hospital, and I asked them, can you take a look at my chart and see if you're going to take me? And Mass General also rejected me. So my only option was Pittsburgh. And now I was in a situation where, you know, what am I going to do? I don't know anybody in Pittsburgh. I will have to sell my practice, move to Pittsburgh, and, you know, like, what do I do? So I'm doing my pulmonary rehab during all this time and talking to the therapist and giving her all this information, all these stories. And so I said, you know, Brigham rejected me, Mass General rejected me, also Cleveland. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I go to Cleveland. I mean, so, sorry, Pittsburgh. So then, you know, I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen. And turned out that my therapist, the physical therapist I was doing pulmonary rehab with, she was part of the transplant team at NGH. So every time they met, the team met, which met on Tuesday mornings, every time they discuss a case, she was like, "Hey, but what about Luis? I have a case. I have a case." And she pushed so much that finally MGH said yes.
You had an angel on your side.
I know, yeah. So I got a call from NGH and saying, you know, we're considering to have you as a patient. And I went there, I got all the tests done. At that point, I was already in oxygen all the time. I was at 4 liters.
Were you still practicing? Wow.
Yeah, I practiced until I got the call.
True sense of the warrior.
I practiced until I had the call. And
And so, from the time they discussed transplant to the time you got the transplant, what was the time span?
From the first time anybody ever mentioned transplant was 2015, and I had it in 2018, so 3 years later.
Okay. And what was the recovery for you? How did that go?
It was a little bit of a struggle because first I lost a lot of weight after the surgery, and then I also had a feeding tube. So I had nothing by mouth for 11 months.
Wow.
That was a struggle.
I bet it was.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
And then you have to sort of learn almost how to swallow again, huh?
Yes. Which I learned the hard way in the hospital, because I was so, right after the transplant, I was so thirsty that I wanted to just a sip of water. Or you know, leak an ice or something, but my mouth was so dry. My throat, actually, not the mouth, but my throat. And there was one point one day in the hospital after the transplant that a nurse left a little cup of water, and I said, "Oh," and she walked away. So, oh, I'm gonna take a little sip. I took a little sip, and that was a bad idea.
Jeez.
Did you aspirate? Were
No, I
you
didn't,
coughing?
but I realized it was just a tiny little sip. I coughed a little, but I realized that, you know, you're not supposed to
Oh yeah.
that.
So it's been how many years since transplant? Two?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Two and a half, yeah.
And when you started recognizing scleroderma and you went into practice, how often do you think that you had somebody maybe come in and you were able to detect before they even said anything that they had scleroderma? Has that ever happened to you?
Not really, no. And I started seeing scleroderma patients thanks to Dr. Leader, Dr. David Leader. He's a colleague of mine from Tufts. And he's lectured extensively also about scleroderma and dentistry.
Yes,
And actually,
yes.
he shares his materials with me, which I'm very grateful for.
Wonderful.
And he started referring me scleroderma patients. So that's when I noticed, you know, the changes and the conditions that I would have to be facing treating these type of patients, you
I
know.
have a feeling that you're going to become kind of like the specialists that have these waiting lists to come in and get to see them because you understand scleroderma like no other, which brings me to my next question. I want to know a little bit about what advantages do you feel you have by being a dentist that also lives with scleroderma?
That's a good question. Advantages. Well, I guess knowing what the condition brings to the patient
Yes.
and how to approach it, you know, to try to solve their problem, you know, their dental problems.
Do a lot of them come into you telling you about some of the experiences they had before they saw someone like you that can identify their needs?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're super happy about it. I had a patient actually this week that I asked her if I could take a picture of her, and she said she didn't like to have her pictures taken. She agreed to have to take to have me take a picture because it was only just her mouth. And I wasn't going to show her face or anything. And actually, she I asked her if I could take pictures of her hands, and she said no.
Really?
And, yeah. And she don't like to have her pictures taken. And I can understand that because there was a point when I started noticing changes in my face. And at one point, my wife arranged to have some pictures taken with her and the girls in an outdoor setting, you know, with a professional photographer and everything. I don't like those pictures at all. I don't like how I look in those pictures. And at that point, I didn't have a beard. And I actually grew the beard because I didn't like my face.
Well, it's very befitting on you. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
So do you feel that you've embraced it? Do you feel like this is who you are, Dr. Del Castillo?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I think we're kind of getting we're running out of time, and I think that we're going to have to – I wanted to ask you – well, actually, I'm going to let Emmanuel take over from here. I'm going to let him ask some little questions for you. I'm going to stop with the more personal questions. So I appreciate you talking with us today. Like I said, I didn't want to give too much away because you're going to be talking about a lot of these things during our talk. And I want to thank you again for just sharing your personal story, again, that others can identify with. We really appreciate your time today. And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday when we're going to learn more about scleroderma and dentistry. So I'm going to let Emmanuel take it away. And thank you once again.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're so awesome, Dr. Luis.
Thank you.
I mean, thank you so much for joining us, for doing this. I mean, I think it definitely helps out with us getting to know you. And, it, you know, a lot of times people will go into a lecture and have no clue who the person is. And this sort of just opens that window. With that said, I have five questions that you're going to have to do in 5 minutes. I'm just going to throw at you.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Here we go. Five. I got a countdown going. All right. So if you could send a message to the entire world, what would you say in 30 seconds?
It's like a beauty pageant question, right?
Yeah.
Be humble.
That's 2 seconds. You got 28 more seconds.
Be humble.
That's perfect. That's perfect. All right. Next question is, which words or phrases do you most overuse? Then don't say be humble.
Okay. Yeah, you beat me to that one. that I most often use.
It's making him think.
I know, yeah.
It's 10:30 over there right now.
Maybe absolutely. I say absolutely a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I say my pleasure also.
We're not going to go there in this question.
Oh, geez. That's a good question, Emmanuel.
That's so funny. It's like me. Mine's it is what it is. I always say that.
I mean, growing up in California, it's like or dude. Dude and like. Like and dude. All right. So what do you consider is your greatest achievement?
I think overcoming the transplant.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree too.
Yeah.
My wife has been on that list on and off ever since she was diagnosed 9 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now she doesn't even need it. And it's been just a blessing.
She doesn't need it? Oh, that's
amazing. No. It's a long story. I'll go into it next time. But okay. Yeah, but something happened to her that allowed her lungs to recover. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It almost killed her, but you know, at least she recovered. All right. I'm taking up the time. We have 2 minutes and 40 seconds. If there was a sandwich named after you, what would be on it?
It would have pork. It would have pickles. Cheese. And would even throw in a fried egg.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna go make some.
That's probably
some,
not too healthy though.
A cubano with egg. In the
a cubano with egg. Exactly. That's what I was thinking of.
Exactly.
That's what, exactly what I was thinking of.
You should. I think that.
Or maybe you can just take the cubano and dip it in the egg.
Dip in the egg. Oh, yeah. Oh. We're done. I'm going to Boston. We're gonna have some of that.
Okay.
I don't know where we're gonna find it, but we're gonna have some of that.
Okay. All right. Last. Cubano, so.
last. When I went to Boston 3 years ago, the Mexican food didn't work for me.
It's
not the same. All right. So seriously, and there's only one Mexican place in near MIT. All right. What's your guilty pleasure?
Guitars, electric guitars.
Do you play?
All right.
Yeah, I do.
That's wonderful.
A little bit. Let me see if I can show you.
Screen share away. I want to see that.
If I can take off this.
Woo! That's beautiful.
What? Wait. You had the background covering that?
Yeah.
What the? Oh, my. Oh wow, that gets me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What type of music do you like to play?
I like to play everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I see those guitars when I think of rock and roll, which is my favorite.
Yeah. I used to be. I play bass too. There's
love bass.
Basses.
Look at you! Wow.
The drum kit.
He's got a toy room. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know within the scleroderma world. I'm a musician. I grew up playing saxophone and drums, and still do if I needed to. But I've been more into the producing side of things. And so I mean, seeing that, I mean, you know, that's your escape, right? That's like when all else fails, pick up something and play. Because
that's a perfect question.
Perfect question. At exactly 10 seconds left, I think we're good to go. Thank you so much, Dr. Luis del Castillo. And I am looking forward to next week on the 20th. If you haven't registered yet, please go find the event in our Facebook page. Also at scleroderma.org/SoCal. Just click on the support groups link, and it'll show you how to get in on it. You know, we've been having a great time with our guest speakers. And it's definitely something different than just, you know, being home alone in your Saturday morning watching cartoons, the news, or something else. But you get to learn about scleroderma. You get to hang out with other patients and caregivers who understand what you're going through. So please join us next week, February 20th. 10:30, correct, Tina?
Yep, we're already filling up. We had I think the last time I checked, I think we're up to 40 people. Or have already registered.
And I think we still have the Zoom account that can handle
a lot more. Yeah.
Several hundred.
And it's been great.
Right?
We've been having people join us from all over the United States, Canada. As a matter of fact, we've got somebody from Germany that already signed up. That's going to be, can't wait to hear your talk. So I love it. And we always have a little time left over in the end. So everybody could just say hello, where they're from, and something positive. And it's been so well received. And I think it's just a nice way to end the meeting. So have some education and a little bit of just a sense of the support from the scleroderma community, from people that you can identify with. So we are really looking forward to you being there, and we hope that you'll stay while everybody kind of shares a little hello and maybe comments on your presentation. Okay.
Yeah, and a big shout out for those that were watching us, like Rachel Ewing, Samantha Matheson, Jenny. Jeannie Tom, David Leader.
Yeah, hi, Jeannie.
I don't know if you know David Leader,
because
he says you're an awesome guitarist.
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy Wong from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you guys for watching.
Guess who else? David, Dr. Leader.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Excellent.
Thank you guys again for.
He said you're an awesome guitarist. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Dr. Luis del Castillo, for joining us for the Sclerosun podcast. We look forward to your talk and maybe doing more of these as well, too, and maybe listening to you. I mean, you can plug whatever you want.
That would be really great. I think we're going to talk about that for our next event. We're going to have you do a little cameo.
Concert. I mean, do you have anything that you last words that you want to say? Any
I just want to thank you for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here with you guys and you know, share the word. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And everybody, if you watch this, please like, share, repeat, follow us on YouTube, Instagram, all your podcasts, podcast playlist, and it helps out. Go to anchor.fm if you want to support for as little as $1.99 a month, just to get the podcast moving along as well too. So thank you so much. My name is Emmanuel Munda. I am the Scleroderma Foundation Southern California Chapter's Community Development Manager, and that is my co-host Tina, as a patient support with patient services director. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you. Bye. So much. Thanks again. Have a good night.
Thank you for having me. Night.
Bye.